All right, let's open our Bibles. We want to continue our teachings, the seasons of fruitfulness. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 26. That's what we have been trying to read for a while. I want to, again, connect with where we ended, inspired by Isaac, and bring out the practical aspects of being fruitful in life. We must never forget that fruitfulness is, first of all, a spiritual thing. That is, it is when God has given you a blessing. He said the blessing of God makes rich. That is, the blessing in itself is not the outward riches. It's an invisible thing that produces riches outwardly. He said the blessing of God makes rich and does not add sorrows with it. So what's the first thing that we need in life is to have the blessing. That's why I wrote that book, that little book titled The Blessing. It's currently out of print, but you can get a free copy from our website, The Blessing. So we have the blessing, but the blessing has to connect with the physical through some outward things. Very important we understand it. Very important. The blessing always connects with the physical. We say that when there is a seed, God has to give it a body. Are you getting my point? That is, God wanted to bless the people, and he was sending his salvation. And the salvation, the name was Jesus Christ. But he needed to have a body. So the angel left and went and talked with the young woman, Mary. And he persuaded her to carry the body. That is, we said, no matter how much God wants to bless, except there is a body to carry that seed, you and I would not have been blessed. Are you getting my point? If that particular Mary rejected it, another Mary had to be found, because the blessing of God must have a body to pass onto the earth through. Don't ever forget that. That's what we began with. So first of all, we have a blessing. And number two, we have a body that must be built. And this is our series. What we are teaching is to help the people of God understand. That is what God does. He takes you, he calls you aside, shows you a pattern in the heavens, and says to you, like he said to Moses, go to the earth and make sure you build exactly according to the pattern that was shown to you on the earth. This is the reason. Every seed has its own body. We said that. Every seed has its own kind of body. The mistake people make a lot of times, and this is very important we understand it, that the body that I have does not have to be like your own. Like I say all the time, that there are messages I preach, there are things I say, that if a white man wouldn't dare say it, you, even me listening to you, no, I realize that God has worked on me. I'm not going to vex too much. You know, I have this ability to slice things away. Like, there was a man I was listening to once. The man was insulting everything black, African, backward people, barbaric people, primitive people. He was talking and talking and talking, and I was playing the message. So he would drop one of those insults. I told my wife, did you hear that? He would drop another one. I told my wife, did you hear that? You see, that man's very funny, and I was laughing about it. After my wife said, why are you listening to him now? I said, because he knows some things nobody else knows. Let him insult me, insult my father, my mother, my whole generation. That I'll be angry, but I'll keep it aside and listen to him and still be blessed. I pray that God will give you that kind of ability. Say amen now. Amen. My wife knows I have it. So may God give me that, all right, so I can slice it. So that my daddy was just saying a lot of things that was very annoying, but I just overlook it and listen to the rest of the message. And you actually need that in life. You have to be able to separate things. You know, somebody I was listening to, I was reading one book. A woman wrote the book, an American preacher woman. She said that you behave like the cow. That's the best way to handle life. You chew the grass and spit out the stick. And that's what cattle does, you know. When they are chewing grass, all right, they chew the, everything goes into the mouth. They chew the grass and just see the sticks dropping out. Say, oh boy, this is not part of it, all right? It's not part of it. Now, so back to what I was saying. Now, this was where I brought it up from, that the kind of body I personally, listen, you that you are listening to, all right, today, all right, Pastor Banky, is required to be able to utter some truths. That's what I was trying to explain, that most people cannot tolerate some things I say coming from a white man's mouth. They won't be able to stand it. That's a matter of fact, all right? So that body is necessary to utter that kind of truth, and that's not a lie. That's not a lie. God will say, no, this thing you are saying, I can't let somebody who's white say this. Nobody will listen to him. I want you to be born in Nigeria. You are going to be a real African, the type that nobody can confuse, all right, whether you're an African or not. If you come from Northern Africa, they won't be sure. Okay? Go to Nigeria and make sure you are darker than an average Nigerian. That way, there will be no confusion as to who is talking. And for that reason, I can say some things and it can be received. What I'm trying to say is that the body, each seed has its own proper kind of body. Now, that's the physical human body. But everything you are doing in life also has its own kind of body. One of the mistakes people make in life, like I was trying to explain, which we shouldn't make, is for us to try and create the same kind of body for every kind of seed. Like, okay, you are going into ministry, all right? Everybody has to start a church, pastor a church, and do things in a particular way. One of the ones I don't understand, you know, I was listening, well, there was a church near my house, I think. I was listening to it yesterday or so. Was it this morning? And I noticed that every church gathering must start with the same way, opening prayer, praise and worship, slow song, fast song. After a while, somebody runs over and then they come, even if they want to do drama. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You know, it's just we have created one kind of body and say every seed must fit into it. And that is not right. That is not right. That was why when we began to teach the word of God, I learned that one long ago. I said, what am I going to do? I am going to teach. So we organize programs, and just the way we do here is what we do there. I don't use singing and clapping to wait for anybody. If you want to come late, you are planning to come late. And I should not be the one waiting for you. And if I'm waiting for you, I'm wasting the time of those who came on time. And tomorrow they are going to come late. So if I organize a program, if we say it's five dots, we grab the mic, we pray for like 5 to 10 minutes, I collect the microphone and I start teaching. I advertised that I wanted to teach. You did not come to listen to Samsung. Are you getting my point? You did not come to listen to, of course, definitely didn't come to listen to Two Face, all right, or the Banch. You did not come to listen to even Frankie Edwards. You came to listen to Pastor Banky. There is no reason on earth as you hire a Frankie Edwards to come and usher me in. He doesn't have the anointing that brings Pastor Banky in. Are you getting my point? He's his own minister. So when you want to listen to him, go and listen to him. I will not pay him money to come and sing before I preach. I don't know. You know, Christians are very funny. I want to use the draw crowd. Better learn how to heal the sick and raise the dead. You won't be spending all this money drawing crowd with fine boy. It's true. It's true. You know, we don't know how backsliding we are. We are thoroughly backsliding. You hear what I say? There's no power of God there anymore. So people come to see how fine the musician is. I'm not going to say, bring out an issue. So if we create the same kind of body for every situation. And that way, there's no full manifestation. If you have to get here now, we have 2 hours in the evening. In fact, we have less than that. Let's assume we have 2 full hours this evening to teach the word of God. And at the beginning, somebody prays. Somebody comes, sings a special number. Then we clap and sing. And then they will have 2 testimonies. By the time they finish, it's 45 minutes left. And you and I know, I need 1 hour, 30 minutes to say what I want to say. But because I created the same kind of body, which is appropriate in certain places. But the kind of seed that is present here requires its own type of body. Listen, be careful. Because these same principles apply not just in ministry. I'm just talking because I'm a ministry person. But as a businessman, it applies like that also. You are starting something, it applies like that also. My wife, you know, there are things I teach her all the time. I said, listen, one of the things I despise the most, you say you are doing business without the name. I cannot distinguish your business from that of somebody else. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. It's not only name that should let me know that I'm dealing with somebody else. There should be a kind of flavor about the way things are done. I will just know that this is the business I'm dealing with, even if I don't hear the name. Like I said last time, you know, what I said last time, very important. The fact that it's about righteousness. And when we say righteousness is not just the proper way. What I mean is this. Righteousness is not just, I didn't steal, I didn't cheat. Righteousness means that there is something that God wants to do in that situation, and we are allowing him to do it. Do you understand my point? I was giving an example last Saturday about Faith Alive Clinics, run by Dr. Chris Isiche, where treatment is absolutely free. Absolutely. The mistake he will make as a doctor is to live here. And say, yes, me too. My clinic will go absolutely free. Now, if that stirs up the calling that you have inside, you go ahead and do it. Are you getting my point? It is not as if you run a clinic where people have to pay, it is not right. You have to find out what exactly am I supposed to be doing? What exactly am I supposed to be doing? There are kinds of people that God wants to reach that my friend will not be able to reach. That's a matter of fact. There are those by virtue of the kind of lives that they live, and it's not ungodly. Don't think it's ungodly. It's just the way their lives are. There are those that God said, you must never wait. Why? It's a waste of time. You can't be doing business and earning like my good friend, not literal friend, all right, $38 million in a day, and you wait 10 minutes to see a doctor. It's ungodly. You should call the doctor and tell him, look, come to my house. I will be ready for you at 9 o'clock. Why? Because you are earning far more than that guy is making. You are making in one day than he makes in a year. That's a year. In fact, in 10 years. You shouldn't wait for him. He should wait for you. It's not that you are better than him. You are just trying to allot God's resources properly. You are getting what I'm saying? So people like that will not be found in Faith Alive clinics. You understand what I'm saying? They won't be found there. They are not bad. In fact, they will come there, drop $1 million, and go home. They will get there, drop money, and go home. What am I saying? But they also have to be catered for. God loves everybody. You'll be surprised that God loves some of the people you don't like. Do you understand it? He loves them. He doesn't want them to die. He doesn't want them to be sick. You may not like him. You may be winding your nose. How can he be fine if I will get? You know, I've told you, why do people fly private jets? Because they are going to private places. Very important, too. Like I said, I was listening to, my wife was playing one of our messages in the car. You know, I was laughing. In fact, you wouldn't know that I was the one that preached the message. Yesterday, I went to pick your car up. I was just laughing. I heard me say that, why does the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? That why do people fly private jets? Because they are going to certain places. And why are you not flying a private jet? Because you are not going to the same place and you don't have the same money. It's not quarrel. That's why you have your private keke napep. And you have a private car. And your shoes are private. I mean, I've been in boarding house before where the slippers wasn't private. Now, who's here first? You've never been in that kind of boarding house? Bucket wasn't private. Now, who wake up first? So, guys, they wake up 5 minutes earlier each day to be the first to grab the bucket. But after a while, that lifestyle wasn't good anymore. You know that. It wasn't good anymore. You wanted to meet your pair of slippers where you left it yesterday. Why? Because you have to meet. You can't afford your life. Those kind of small things will be wasting your time. Now, all I'm going to explain is this. People, there are different kinds of people on the earth, and God loves everybody. And God wants to minister to each group of people, including those who fly private jets. So, it is not every person's business that will be set up in such a manner that you shouldn't pay anything. Why? Each seed has its own body. That's what I'm going to explain. And one of the disciplines of life is to know the kind of body that God wants your own seeds to carry. There are those who thrive. Now, this is very interesting. There are those who, they thrive. Minister, as an example now, it's how many people, multitudes, that's what they count. There are those who can't preach when people are too plenty. In fact, I used to have an issue. In fact, let me just give you a testimony. I've told you this before, all right? When I say testimony, I'm not saying something dramatic happened, just as an illustration, more like. Some time ago, the advice was plenty. My wife invited somebody here one day, and the lady, after she listened to me teach, she said, why won't your husband start a church? Now, just by the way, why should he start a church? Just think about it. So she can come there on Sunday. So what's wrong with coming on Saturday evenings? That's the time I go to market. I will not adjust my calendar to fit your market schedule. I've heard all kinds of, please pardon me, stupid reasons why people don't come to Bible study. I've heard all kinds. That's when I wash. Did you hear what I said? I wash. That's when I cook. You know, I'm busy the whole week. So that's how the evening I cook. I don't know what I heard I said. I cook. 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 But that one is even better than wash. That's when I wash. When I hear it, you know, I'm one person that, oh God, you know, may God give you my kind of wisdom and remove from you my kind of impatience. You won't say amen. I get some kind of wisdom where I get, but you shouldn't argue with my kind of impatience. My wife is very patient. My wife will sit down there and explain to you why telling her that you cook on Saturday evenings is silly. She'll be explaining to you that, don't you know the word of God is more important? How can you tell me that cooking? And I'll be pinching her like, baby, what's your problem? She wants to cook. And I'm pinching my wife like, what's the issue? Let her go now. She wants to cook. It's good for, you know, everybody can't be like me. Each seed has its own proper body. There's a body, there's a seed that's inside my wife. That's why she looks like that. Different from me. Why? This is my own wisdom. When an adult tells me that, it's a very nice way of telling you, Oga, that thing you are saying, I don't understand it. I don't want it. It's not blessing me. I don't know what I get to my point. Yes, it's not reaching me. So this is my impatience. I quickly understand that and I leave you alone. My wife also understands that, at least now she has come to understand that. But she just feels that she owes you a duty to try and help you. But that's the area where I say, God should remove my impatience from you. Me, I don't agree. If you don't want to learn, the other people who want to learn, let me spend my energy on them. Anyway, that's just by the way. So the person came, when your husband started joking, after that, they should not come back again. No. The person who said to me, why should I have started the church? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now, what I'm going to say is that I do not have the time to be massaging anybody's back and blowing your wound. Sorry, how are you feeling? No. I teach you, I walk away. Those who are looking for pastor to call at odd hours, please, don't follow me. Please, I beg you. Please, don't follow me. And one of the ways I ensure that you won't follow me is not to do a social gathering for you. You know what I mean by social gathering? Anyway, but there was a time those kind of questions kept on coming up. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And then these are the logical arguments, which I respect, which was the only reason why I listened after a while. And I'm like, that way you'll be able to reach more people. People will, it was making some sense. Okay, let's reach people. Now let's not reach people. Let's try and reach them. Let's not refuse to reach them, you know? But God gave me a very good answer for that. You can reach them on television, reach them on radio, reach them through our magazines, and reach them through the, you know, tracks, you know, internet and stuff like that. But let's just talk about that one briefly. So that one I thought about it for a while. But this is where I'm going. I noticed, this is a matter of fact, I've been to many churches in my life. I have noticed that the larger the number of people you have to talk to, the shallower you have to talk. You don't even try it. It just happens. It just happens. If you are teaching only 10 people around you who have been, they love the word, you find that you can dig deeper. They generally are more patient. You're not in a hurry, you know. But then, as they keep on increasing to large numbers, they become like 10,000. You start showing up with, this week is your week of blessing. No evil shall befall you. They will shout, amen. I want you to know that you, and these are not wrong things, they are true. The Bible calls them the sincere milk of the word. And I noticed something in my experience is that after a while, I tend to disconnect with that minister. Not because he's a bad person, because his focus has shifted to ministering to different kinds of people, a different set of people. Nothing wrong with it. Like I said, God loves everybody. So that day, I was speaking with a friend of mine, just telling him all the things that people have been saying. And I now told him this one thing I have noticed. And he said something. When we said that, people said that on Sunday you'll be able to reach people. People like to go to churches on Sundays. And he said, Banky, many people are already doing that. I said, that is the word of God. He said, many people are already doing it. That what you are doing now, I can't remember his exact words, but this is what we both agreed on. Count for me the number of people who are doing it. You can hardly count a handful. Do you understand my point? And then why do you now want to deplete where there are few people to go and increase the population of where there are plenty people to do what we already have a lot of people doing? What it was saying, in effect, is that, oh boy, stay with this. We like it. That is one thing that we will get, which we are not likely to get from many other places. A different kind of seed needs a different kind of body. The manifestation of seeds often have a problem when they are in the wrong body. I don't know what I hear what I said. That is, the manifestation of a seed will have a problem if it is in the wrong body. I've lived through, that is, in the last 20 years or about, at least I've been watching ministry with insight, observing people. There was a day, I won't mention this name because of respect, all right? One day, a friend of mine was discussing, me, his wife, and him, three of us. And he was talking about a particular man of God who we knew, and he was, okay, he was the kind of person we'll call an evangelist, all right? Though I believe the proper word is supposed to be apostle, okay? Yes, and what we call prophets these days are supposed to be what the Bible calls evangelists, you understand? Now, they are real prophets. Tunde Bakare is a prophet. You know, I keep on saying it. I know many people. I have two of my friends in mind now who I believe have the... One I know has the prophetic anointing. The other one I know is a prophet. Not just prophetic anointing, is a prophet. I know different kinds of people, all right? I just want to align some things for us. A lot of people will call them evangelists. The Bible calls them apostles. Like now, a very good example for me is people like Reinhard Bonnke. People call them evangelists. He called himself that. I said, bros, thank you very much, but you fit what I understand from the scriptures as an apostle. We're not splitting hairs over that, right? That's not very, very important. But this was a man like that. And then he started doing another kind of thing and all of that. And that day, my friend who was speaking, he pointed out, so his wife was going to say that was very, very good. Her husband said, that's my friend, that notice something, sweetheart, that's what he calls his wife. He said, when last did you hear him do this kind of thing that we used to hear him do? I don't know whether you understand that. That is, when last did you see him operate this kind of anointing? He said, because he's doing what all of you like, and you like it, it's nice, he has his own set of results. He said, but when last did you see that anointing operate? Why? Because his seed had gotten sunk into a different kind of system. Therefore, that anointing could not operate. Now, I'm careful not to judge the things of other people. We have to look at things to be able to take instructions from them, get insight, all right? But what I want to emphasize is that the kind of seed inside you requires its own kind of body. And when we're talking about body now, what we mean is the physical encasement through which that thing will manifest. Let me just drop this. It is not every kind of job that you should take just because it's pain. We made a joke when I served in Nigeria Army. That's my youth service, was in the Nigeria Army. All right, it's the 3rd Mechanized Battalion in Taraba State then. So, you know, of course, we're there for some time. We got used to the military life and all of that. And in fact, a few days ago, the DPO of the police station covering my district and my hospital came to my office. Normally, when he enters the office, he will salute. So, when he entered that day, he gave me a very strong salute. There was a way I responded, you know. For those of you who know, I just stiffened a bit. He was impressed, like, Doc, where did you learn that? I said, I served in the army, you know. There's a way, you know, you learn those things. I just gave him, without saluting, I just stiffened one kind to receive his salute. The guy was really, really impressed. But we learned that then. So, when we're there, people were asking that, would you like to join the army and all of that? I said simply, I like the whole thing, and I like the army. I said, but there's one problem I have. The kind of life I am going to lead, you understand? The kind of life I'm going to live, I cannot be taking, all right, obtaining permission every time I want to travel. It wasn't bad. For some people, they can do it. I said, but for me, my life won't fit it. I have to be able to get a call today, say, please, the program is starting next week by Thursday. Will you be there? And I'll say, yes. And I go. I don't have to explain anything to anybody. Those days, as a young house officer, you know, when people tell me that, why do you choose to be a pathologist in life? I said, there are many reasons. There are three reasons I will give you, each one of them accurate according to the accuracy of Apollos or of Paul, depending on the one you are choosing. You understand my point? Each one depends on who I'm talking to. But one of the things I said is this. I said, it is crucial, you know, because I didn't even know I was going to finish my postgraduate training then, because I was thinking of ministry things and all of that. When I was in school, I wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. That was when I was in school, I loved that field like mad. I don't know. I was going to be a heart surgeon. As far as I was concerned, I was middle-level medical school. I was going to be a heart surgeon. I don't know. The thing just tripped me, you know. There's a way my mind works. The thing just tripped me. But by the time I was finishing school and the call to ministry was getting strong, I said simply to everybody, I'm sorry, I cannot take emergencies. Let me be honest with you. As a young guy, I enjoyed it. In fact, my favorite patient then was an unconscious patient without any history. I used to enjoy having to reason, you know, do investigation, examine the patient. It really used to intrigue me, all right? But I made it clear to everybody. I said, this cannot last for long. I said, I cannot live a life that I don't know when I'll get called. I go to work in the morning, I don't know when I'm coming back home. I said, I'm sorry, I can't live that kind of life. It's not bad, except that I knew I had to teach. I knew I had to preach at seminars. People would plan programs, and I had to be predictably there. It's not possible that I now say, Dr. Leshino couldn't come. You know, there was an emergency. Somebody ruptured an aortic valve, and he has to go and replace it. So I said, God, let that anointing go to somebody else. This seed requires a kind of body. That's just it. That's what I mean by it's not every job you take. I went to preach somewhere. A young woman came, asked me a question. She told me about her life and everything. She told me a skill she had, and how that really helped her to finish her schooling. She made money from it as a student. I remember I dropped something for her. You're leaving school. I don't know whether she was in NYC at that time, but I said, whatever you do, you may have to get a job. Don't accidentally, mistakenly, by chance, in a drunken state, are you getting my point? Don't let it happen that you take a job that will not let you practice this skill. A man used to call me then from Newe. He was working in a bank. I don't know how he got my number, and then I took his call, and we became friends on the phone. He used to listen to me on radio, then he would call, and each time he would call, you can feel it. You could feel it over the airwaves, you know what I mean? How do you, the phone anyway. There was a way I could feel it. That this man was frustrated. He was agitated. He wanted his life to be different. In fact, these were his words. He said, anytime I hear you, I know you are doing the kind of thing I'm supposed to be doing. So I said to him, my brother, why are you not doing it? It is this job. It is this work. He was working in a bank. I guess we are paying him well. And listen, you must understand one thing about Christianity. I told, look, all this gospel that God doesn't ever cause pain. Better reject it. Oh, God, they cause pain, no? Because if you open your heart to it early, you'll be able to make choices that will pain you, and you know it's still God. Because what should he, and I told him straight, what you should have done is to simply buy the bullet. Just wake up one day, resign, and I know they do it again. So where will you get money from? Don't worry. He will get another job that will pay a quarter of what that one is paying. Yeah, he will get it. I'm telling you, if you walk to a secondary school, they say, I was a banker. Can I be a vice principal? They will employ him like this. They will give you a fraction of what the bank was paying him. You are getting my point? I said, but he will have had the opportunity to exercise that seed, the gift that was inside him to be a blessing to people. A number of times he will call me, the same thing again and again. And he will pray for me and thank me and ask for advice. And of course, no family problems there, you know, those kind of things. You know, so they call family problems? Not his own, I'm not sure he had a wife or children. No. I mean, his own family he came out from, his cousins, you know, his mother, his father, stuff like that. And let me just say this. God sometimes, you know, when you saw this Igbo men who don't believe in God, when they read the Bible, they say this God is wicked. Because the prescription of God for such situations is forget the family. It sounds funny. But that's always the prescription of God. Family, forget it. It's not as if he's saying forget the family like that. What he says, if anyone will not love his father, will not hate his father and mother and brother and sister, he cannot be my disciple. What he was saying simply is that if family considerations will be first before you obey me, just face another direction. It's a relative thing. It's a relative thing. It's a relative thing. I like one thing Oswald Chambers said. Oswald Chambers said that the cost of discipleship is not the one that it costs you. It is what it costs those that you love. So that's the cost of discipleship. I told him then, my brother, you have to just get up, buy this bullet, and move on with your life. Because this time he will call me. Of course, what normally happens is that you know your cousins are depending on you to go to school. You know, and these are real, I get my point. These are tangible issues. They are tangible issues. Except that being a disciple of Christ, those are the points in which you decide which one is more important. Let me just give you news. God loves those people more than you love them. I don't know what I heard me. He does. He will provide for them ultimately faster if you obey him than this one you are doing. A man came to Jesus and said, I will go with you, but first of all, let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead. Now, let's quickly explain what it means to go and bury his father. His father was not lying in the mortuary. They did not embalm him waiting for the day the family would meet to put the man in the ground. No. What he meant was that my father, well, I read this from somewhere, all right, so let me just know that I'm quoting somebody. That what he was saying is that my father is old, is at home. Let me go and stay with him until he dies. Do you understand the point? So let me take care of him, and then when I'm through with doing that, I will now be able to, I will be free to do this. And Jesus said, listen, you have brothers that are not believing the gospel. Let them go and do that. You have cousins that will help you with that. Let them do that. I know it's your father. I know it's very dear to you. But the matter of the kingdom is more important than what you are trying to do. As noble as it seems. Just by the way. But using the story of that brother, those are the precious in his heart. It was, how do I live? But the point was that his seed was now encased in a body that was not allowing it to manifest. And let me say something to you so that you realize that Christianity is a serious matter. No big joke. God is long-suffering. He's not persistent suffering. He's not ever suffering. He's long-suffering. Everything that is long means he has a length. The sun may be far away from the earth, but we can measure the distance. I don't know whether I ever heard of Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. Voyager 1 was released in the 70s. As of last year, 2013, it had left our solar system. It was now in the interstellar space. Now, can you imagine that? A craft made by human beings just been flying and flying and flying, sending signals to the Earth. So finally, it has left our solar system. As vast as it is, eventually it had an end. The distance was covered by craft. What am I saying? God is long-suffering. Does not mean he's what? Ever-suffering. He comes looking for fruit only for 3 seasons. And by the end of the 3rd season, he needs a lot of intercession to have him not pluck off that tree from his garden. And after that 4th season, he gets tired. Even the Holy Spirit, the husbandman, was even me, I'm tired. I told this boy to go and manifest the seed. He said, no, the money here is good. Listen, it's not every job you take. Oh. What did I say? Let me hear it again. Watch your life. Make your decisions as much as possible according to the understanding you have concerning the seed. If you don't understand it, no problem. God will handle you very well. Don't worry about it. But if you know, like that young woman that day, she showed me what she could do and all of that. I said to her simply, when you take a job, be careful. You don't take a job that totally buries, like they say, your talent for you. The problem in life is the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things. When they enter in, let me tell you something. Mammon, I keep on saying, mammon is not covetousness. Mammon is basic. Mammon is what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. Last week I spoke, I said it's not about money. It's about fulfilling righteousness. It's about doing exactly what God wants you to do. When my wife and I will be sitting down explaining some principles to her, I say, listen, baby, get my point. I'm not promising you that if you do business like this, you will make more money. I'm not promising that. I'm just saying that you will do something differently. You will birth something that somebody else beside you is not doing. How will it be? We'll come to the earth. Every animal is a monkey. There are no horses, no chicken. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Yes, no birds. Why? Because, or let's say every animal is a lion. Say, why? We found out that the lion is the strongest. So why make things that are not as strong? After a while, you'll be tired of the lions. You'll be tired. Each seed has its own body. And what I'm explaining is that be careful that you don't allow your seed to be encased in the wrong body. The problem, like I was saying earlier, is that everybody sees a successful body and they want to copy that body. What I mean by body is structure. A man is starting a church. He heard that Yong Gicho has home cell. Home cell, you know, home cell units. Home cell units. You forget that Nigerians are not Koreans. Is home cell good? I don't know. It may be good. It may be bad. I have no idea. I'm not even judging it. I don't care. All I know is that Nigerians are not Koreans. So, the way it will work here, may. The word is may. I'm not saying we will be, no, must, no. I'm saying may. And you must open your heart to the possibility. You cannot just transport what Yong Gicho did in South Korea and bring it to Nigeria and expect a Yong Gicho result. No. Each seed has its own body. Each seed has its own body. People want to do ministry. You want to start a church. Just go and copy what somebody else is doing. I want to do it exactly the same way. Each seed has its own body. Some people come to a church like us on the road and say, oh, I like the way the pastors dress. You go and start a church, everybody must wear suit like them. You now go to a place where everybody, you don't know that everybody is suspicious in that area of those that wear suit. They are saying, they are wearing suit. Are you sure they are not Wall Street bankers? They will soon carry our money and run. You don't know what's going on in their mind. They come to church, oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. That guy's wearing a suit. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice. They are looking. Look at his tie. Look at that banker that came that and cut all our money. I will rejoice and be glad. You don't know they are looking at you with suspicion. If you read the book, The Happiest People on Earth, Demo Shakaria said, once he went to a place, he was wearing a suit. And he was talking to the people. They are dairy farmers. He was talking and talking and talking. And he knew something wasn't connecting. Then, along the line, he accidentally spilled like a drink or a glass of milk or something. And without thinking, he put his shoe on the table and started cleaning. While he was talking, I think he used the edge of his jacket, started cleaning the shoe. Do you know that singular movement broke the ice? Everything suddenly loosened up. They realize that this man is not a suit man. He's a farmer. That this is the behavior of a farmer. I don't know whether you connect that. All the while, when he was speaking good English and trying to draw down the anointing, they were looking at him. All these guys that came from the city, they think we are farmers. We don't have sense. You know, that's what they were thinking of. He wants to come and hoodwink us now. Before we know what's happening, he'll have made up. You know, they were just thinking in their minds. He was talking and talking. Nobody was. They were not connecting with him. Until he spilled something on his shoes. And without thinking, he just carried the shoe, put on top of the table, and started using part of his cloth to clean it. And he was still talking. That movement, they said, ah, that's our guy. This is our guy. This is our man. This is our man. What am I saying? Some of the things they are trying to copy are the reasons why you don't succeed. I'm telling you, some of the very things that you're trying to copy. And it works for somebody else. Why? Each seed has its own body. Go and check it. Most of the people we are trying to copy now, they didn't copy anybody. They just did what they wanted to do. They sat down and said, ah, this will work like this. And they started doing it. After everybody else is working, and that is what they call the all we like sheep. You know, all we like sheep that are following them and going astray. Or we like sheep have gone astray. That's how human beings are. I thank God for private universities. You know my attitude about it. I love God for that. In fact, yesterday morning, I was one that went to drop my kids in school. After that, I went to help my wife drop her car for servicing. So that morning, I was therefore on the road. And I was seeing schools. I said, my God, if these private schools were not there, how will government cope with this multitude of children that we have? I said, Lord, I thank you. You know, so I love private schools. But do you know many ministries are opening universities because of Bishop Oyedepo. And that is the collapse of the ministry. Listen, before private universities began in Nigeria, Bishop was already dreaming it. He was already incubating it. He used to go everywhere and say, it can happen anywhere. He went to Oral Roberts University to go and look. And I still remember the statement he made. He said, it can happen anywhere. And that's what he always used to say. It can happen anywhere. And so he has started now. A lot of people are now saying, well, a good church must have his own university. All right. Okay. When they sell your church building, not talk, say, not talk. Every seed has his own body. Every seed has his own body. One of the things I tell people is that don't look, you know, anyway, let me just leave that. But the point I just want to make is that when it comes to ministry, you can draw inspiration from people, be encouraged by their spirit, but remember, every seed has its own body. I'll be honest with you, the way I do ministry today, I didn't copy anybody. Not one person. I'm not aware. There are people. I'm not saying there are none. There are. There must be. Come on. There must be somewhere. But there was not one person. Not one person I copied. Not one. I just knew what I wanted to do. And I began to. In fact, the initial plan was to be going around doing seminars. One of the reasons why, if I tell you this, in fact, is now I'm even remembering myself. One of the reasons why I quickly dropped the idea was that it was too expensive. The first seminar we did, the last day, were only three. My wife, me, and my friend. The first, the Lord came to give us encouragement. After that, they went their way. The last day was me, Chooks, and Mrs. B. Did I mention to you that I was the one preaching? So there were two people listening to me. I had her down the road here. Printed flyer. Oh, I did. Shared it everywhere, including inside the market. On the third day, there were three people. The preacher, his wife, and his friend. And I still remember, I preached my heart out. I preached very seriously. I preached hard for the two of them. I'm telling you, I preached. I think the tapes are still somewhere in my house. 3 days. After that, I said, this seminar don't go work. How many seminars will I organize like this? Like, as much as I don't care, I preach, but I won't come next time I find my wife, my friend. After that, we'll just draw chairs and say, guys, I want to preach today. You people know what I want to say already. So I just thought it was a reasonable thing to do, to look for a hall, if only to just save the cost. Because, you know, the way it is, you pay for a hall for 3 days, it costs some money. You realize that by the time you pay for like 10 days, you paid for a whole year in a hall that's your own. That was how we arrived at this place. And God just opened the door. We met the people who owned the building. One of us, our very good friend, and then that's it. And then I started preaching. I just wanted to be teaching. That one, there were days that were like that. Just me, my wife, Deji, that's my brother. And sometimes my wife's cousin is around. So we'll just be literally where two or three are gathered. We come up here and listen. Every single one of those messages are available today on MP3. Now, this is the kind of thing I'm saying. Because, look, I have preached before with two microphones. Because what happened was, I don't know whether I was here or somewhere I went to preach. The mic that was feeding the public address, all right, was not, the public address system was not connected to a recorder. And I told them, I must record my message. So they got another microphone, connected it direct to the recording system. I held the two. Yes. You know why? Because it was crucial to me that the message was recorded. In this place, if I came and there was, you had to choose between public address and recording, we recorded. So move closer, I will talk loud, but we had to record. I can say that 99.9, no, that's not a good way to put it. Only like two or three messages preached here are not available today on tape. Not more than 2 or 3 in 10 years. I know the number I preached in a year. And I remember one of them that's not available. And why it was not available is simply because we're recording on the computer. As soon as I finished preaching that, the computer crashed. Before they could save the audio, the computer crashed. I just jumped into my car. I was going to listen to one pastor that came to town. I just left them and jumped into the car and ran away. But what I'm going to emphasize is the fact that I had one thing in mind. To teach and teach and teach and make sure those things are available anytime that people wanted to make reference to them. It amazes me today. I go to big churches. They have fantastic recording equipment. You listen to their tape, nothing. So they say, how come? I said, because you guys are not, it's not central to you. The gathering on Sunday is your primary thing. So your hall will be fine. Your ushers will look nice. Your TV adverts will be impeccable. But buy me a tape that was preached there, we can't hear it. Why? That's not the primary thing that you're doing. I have done, look, listen. First time I gave Cosmo FM our CD, they listened to it. The guy said, this is even better than a lot of things we get from big places in Lagos. What they did not know was it was a 7,000 naira microphone and my laptop. That's all. Because that was my emphasis. They would say, you go to studio for mastering. I didn't need studio. My bedroom has been studio before. The time I want to teach for radio, the whole of Eastern Nigeria is waiting for it. The only audience with me is my wife. She's sitting on the bed. I am standing in front of her. There's a laptop somewhere, and I have a microphone in my hand. Listen, I'm about to start my message. Today I'm preaching on creating the opportunity of prosperity. When everybody hears it, and there have been times I call my wife, you're not home yet. That day I just say, I can do this thing alone. I just shut the door. Only me. And if I remember that day, I was... priest didn't finish. Recorded it. Ran down to Cosmo FM. On air. 5 minutes later, they put it on air. Because it was crucial. We have dropped CDs in Cosmo before. They're supposed to start broadcasting maybe at 7. 30 seconds to 7. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. I'm sorry. There was a day Kingsley was driving. We were burning CD inside the car as Kingsley was driving. Just be heading for Cosmo. Be heading for Cosmo. You know what I'm saying? All of these things. We had one target. Just teach the word and record it. So I built everything around that. Everything was built around it. So if you hear that, as of today, maybe we paid for the 6th radio station and we're hoping to get 7 before the end of the year. Maybe go to another TV station. And I was saying the other day, we got a mail from Namibia, from different places. Somebody walks in, won't believe that. This is where people are doing all these things from. I don't know whether I get the point. What the person will not realize is that there is a seed, you understand? The kind of body that seed is utilizing is different from the type they'll use in a church because their focus is different. And that's one thing. And it's like that in business too. It's like that in business. Your business, you know, I was talking to my mechanic yesterday. I was just telling him again. I said, oh boy, back away from here. I said, I've been warning you. One day the government will drive you. And I made a statement to him. This is what I talk about it. I said, listen, you are not the type of motor mechanic that the man is looking for by the roadside. Say, please, so my car broke down the road. Please, can somebody come and help me? I said, no. People who come to you, they know you. They want, if you are in Oka, they will come there. So you don't need, which I'm talking about it, you don't need prime location. Are you getting my point? What you need is space. I said, you don't need prime location. There are people that their business is, like they tell you, number the 3 laws of business, location, location, location. It is not true all the time. They had no location. Are you getting my point? Physically speaking. They invented Dell Direct. I'm reading the story of Jeff Bezos of Amazon. And the man was working. He just said, no, this thing can be done like this. Those guys took advantage of the internet. If there are stores, there are fulfillment centers, they call them. If it's inside the bush, you won't know. Because they take your orders online and deliver the thing to your doorstep. What am I going to say? Each kind of seed has its own kind of body. And you must be careful that you don't go and entrap your seed in a wrong kind of body, because when you do, it cannot function to its optimum. So for me, ministry, people did ministry like this, did it like that. I will even we'll go and do programs and print on the flyer. This message, this program is for Christians only. No, I've done it more than once. Print on the flyer for believers only. Somebody said that. I know we'll reach unbelievers. If you come in, we'll reach you. But we didn't plan it for you. So when we go in there, I assume, look, I'm not there to tell you, you know, your sins one day be one day. A sinner man will find himself in hellfire and he will not be able to repent. He will not be able to come back to repent. Repent today and be baptized. I assume you have repented. I assume it. The Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. I do my job. I walk away. One of the least productive engagements I ever had as an invited minister was the day I made the mistake of going to a place to preach. It was directly opposite here, a special program. Nobody knows. I'm the only one that understands. When I finished preaching that day, I said, Bank, you didn't do your work. You came here to shout like an apostle, like an evangelist. You see? Did anybody give their life to Christ? No. If you heard this message today, all of them are looking like, I better sit down and a fool will come chop. I knew that I was doing what I was not supposed to do. Since that time, I never made a mistake again. If you invite me anywhere, if you invite me now, say, all the Guru Maharaji followers, all the Ogboni men, all the PDP members, APC people, they have all gathered, they say, you'll be the one to preach. I will get there and teach a solid biblical doctrine as if they are all Christians. I won't shout, hey, if you don't repent, you will die. I don't care. I'll just open the Bible. There are two kinds of righteousness. The Bible says there's a righteousness according to the law. I will start teaching. If you don't, see, what if they understand? What do you concern me? Do I look like the Holy Spirit? I beg. Do you concern me? I do my job. I'm serious. I will just sit down there. I'm telling you, I will quote Greek. The Greek says this. I will explain and talk. You know what I found out from experience? When I do that, those Ogboni men, they get born again. When I do that, all those occultic sinners, they will give their life to Christ. But when I go there, I want to start shouting fire and brimstone. There was hell. Men have dug into hell. Hell is existing. They're like, look, Pastor, I better go. We don't believe you. I'm serious. People are just... I told you once, a man came all the way from Maka to meet me here. I used to teach as if everybody believed. He used to listen to me on radio. And he said he did not believe until he heard me preach. I was the person he heard preach that convinced him that there is a God somewhere. I have preached until Muslims were following me ardently. I'm serious. You know why? There's a kind of seed. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Each seed has his own body. I will not entrap myself in the body that was made for another kind of seed. Why men do it, why women do it in this life is generally because of money. This one makes money. Listen, may God reveal to you what money is and what money is not. Say amen, I beg. Amen. In fact, there's one thing I'll post it in over the next few days. I wrote it yesterday, 52 or so. I have 51 or 52 random truths about money. One of the things you must know about is that, don't worry, you don't make your decisions based on it. No, you don't. You don't. You don't make your decisions because this one makes money, this one does not make money. You don't. Money is an added matter. You get what I say? Is what? An added matter. That is, God just adds it. Adds it to the person who doesn't respect it. The person doesn't think this is the most important thing in life. It's the one that God adds it to. I remember that when I finished my postgraduate training in Lagos, that time, people of my type, their salary was very, 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 very poor. So everybody was like, how do we escape from this government work and those kind of things? So I remember I went to visit some friends that day. Lagos State University, they were just opening their College of Medicine. So I just reasoned that, well, it would be a nice place to work. So after that, I went to see some friends. How was today? Oh, I went for an interview in Lasso. They were looking at like, what? I said, yes, they're opening the College of Medicine, and I want to go there and go and teach. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize, I liked to teach. I enjoyed teaching. The first year I taught in Enugu, I won an award, best lecturer in pathology. First year. And I have not given it to anybody since. I will have won it again. The dean that was giving out the awards, his tenure ended, so the next dean didn't pick up on the thing. I liked to teach. It was, my teachers in Lu said that, oh, I must confess. I remember one of my professors, Professor Abdelkarim, she's there now. Then she was not a professor then. She just said, I must confess, you'll make a very good teacher. So I said, whatever I had to do in life, I had to be somewhere I would teach. I don't know how you want to do it, though. It doesn't have to be a university system. It can be somewhere, but I had to be teaching somebody. And that's why you have come this evening. So I will teach somebody. And every day we get meals, literally every single day. How people have heard the word, they have been taught, their mentality has changed. Hey! So that day when I was talking to the people, said, I remember they look at each other like, this boy is a man for poverty, is a glutton for punishment? Because the lecturers were very, very poorly paid. Extremely. Badly. Painfully. I can imagine, man, I get up. I know the funny thing. It did not cross my mind that I would be poor. Oh, please, I pray you understand what I'm saying. It was not I didn't think it was a possibility. Why? Because he said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I knew I could never be poor. Never. And it wasn't going to happen. So I could make my choice according to the seed. I just said, listen, this is the kind of body that this seed will carry. And somebody said that, want to go to an oil company to apply? So I remember I said, do they teach there? Do they teach there? Why, you know, the oil companies, they pay a lot of money. Don't worry about it. One day somebody will send me a tithe, in quotes, you know what I'm saying now, of the earnings from an oil company in the whole year. That is the whole or total. They say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to us that this $1 billion is your own. And I'll say, it shall be well with you. Don't worry about those things. Honestly, don't worry about those things. It's not a big issue. I won't make my decision because of that. Around nonsense. You want my life to be a life of pressure in my bones. I can't speak. I remember then, I said, why? Why would I? I was wondering that what is the relationship between the kind of seed I'm carrying and working on OFM? Remember what I said? Is the kind of seed somebody has to walk there. You know that? It's just that it wasn't me. No fight. I have friends all over the place. What I'm going to explain, somebody has to walk there. It just was not me. It just wasn't me. I didn't think it should be me. Nothing wrong with it. It's just the seed. No, that kind of body did not fit. It didn't fit. I used to tell people that, look, if God said, okay, you know, assuming that we are Buddhists, all right, is it Buddhist now? Who are those people who believe in reincarnation as animals? Hindus. Uh-huh. And I said, what do you want to come back as? I said, a bird. You know, a bird. Yes. I said, I like to be a bird. I want to fly. Why? I just have to be able to move to where it's happening anytime. That's the kind of seed. I said, listen, that's why I dropped my ambition when I was in school. I wanted to be a heart surgeon. I dropped it. By the time I was graduating, I dropped it. I said, simply, I can't take calls. You can't wake me up at night. I cannot rush when somebody is bleeding. I will not have the time. I had the ability. I'm not afraid of blood. Are you getting my point? I had the physical ability to do it. I had the mental capacity to do it. But I said, I don't have the time capacity to do it. I learned that when I was a house officer. I watched my guys, saw their work pattern. The gynecologist, the surgeon, and after everything. I said, this man is the will of God. With this one, I can do ministry. At least for a while, it will last. I hope you get the point I'm making. And I started by saying that it is not every job that you can take. Because God gave you life to release a kind of seed into the earth. Don't let money drive you up and down. No. You have to do that which will train your seed and allow that seed to be manifested. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, I hope you understood what I said so far. All right, I said we should open somewhere, right? Genesis chapter 26. Now, let's start from verse 1. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac lived in Gerar. Now, there's one parenthetic gist there. Let's just jump it and jump to the way that thing continued. Verse 12. From verse 6, I'm going to verse 12 now. It said, now Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. For he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now let me just stop there. We read this then, talking about inspired by Isaac. And I want us to connect with it again. A few points we made, which I want to repeat some of them. One, I said that, if I please just go and listen to the series inspired by Isaac, towards about the last five of them we discussed around this area. One of the points I want to remind us of is the fact that Isaac sowed in that land. We said that the land, all right, is the land of promise, and that sometimes there is famine in that land of promise, because there was famine in that land at that time. But God said to him, sow in that land. We said there are different kinds of ways of looking, or let me put it like this. There are two ways, all right, two perspectives by which you can look at that land matter and interpret it. One, there is a physical land. There is a geographical location. It is not every place that you belong. That's a matter of fact. It's not everywhere, physically speaking, that God wants you to go and work. United States is a very beautiful place. Europe is fine. Australia is fine. South Africa is okay. Nigeria is beautiful. You know, Ghana is fine. Rwanda is good. We can look at land. There are different kinds of land. All right? There is a land that is your own. It's not every country that God wants to go and start your life in or even continue it in. Okay? You have to be careful. Before you make any decision when it comes to change of geographical location as a Christian, please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. That's one thing you and I have as an advantage that unbelievers don't have. We can talk to God simply. Say, Lord, I think I want to go to Lagos. Is Lagos okay for me? And there are different ways by which he will make it clear. I have had personal testimonies. You've heard my testimony on how I got to Enugu. All right? I have many friends who God has revealed to how to go to certain places or where not to go to. Okay? And God still does that. It is not everywhere where you must go. And because a place is fine does not mean you must go there. Are you getting my point? The advantage we have as Christians is that we can pray. And God will literally lead you into the place where you should go. A place is fine does not mean you must go there. All right? You say, okay, everybody, you go to America. America is a nice place. I remember the first time they started visa lottery. This was around the time I just finished my NYC. My friend who told me about it, we used to call him Pastor. It was one that came to visit me one day and said, there's this thing the Americans are doing. They said, you win their lottery, they give you a visa to their country. So I said, let's go and do now. It looks like a nice thing to do. I wasn't planning to move to the US, so we went and played the first one. And after that, they told us that if you win, you have to move to the US. I said, what? Why can't you just hold the visa? They said, no, it's an immigrant visa. So I said, I know they play again. One day, my brother Deji was doing business with the thing. They were snapping pictures. You know, young men, they knew how to do the computer. They went inside doing it. Before, initially, you had to post the thing physically. So when they took the thing online, Deji was doing it those days. So one day, we went home. So we were taking the pictures. He took my wife, took everybody. So he now came and met me. He and my wife conspired to come and meet me. So I said, what? They said that since my wife is married, she has to put her husband's picture. That's how the application is. So I said, Shebi, you're a man. Sit down there. Now photograph yourself. I said, okay, lend me your face. I told this guy, I said, did you? I told my wife that they said, the thing where you don't want chop, no, they sniff them. You understand my point? I don't like this food, though. That's a very nice aroma. I don't want you to. I'm watching my weight. Yeah, I like the way it smells. You don't want to eat. You're there all the time, sniffing. If they say, lead us not into temptation, why lead ourselves into temptation, too? I said, beg, go. I know they do. Anything wrong with it? No. One of my best friends in the world, he went like that. And if I have to travel, I'm making a beeline for his home, all right? I mean, I thank God for him. I have friends, relatives, people all over the place. Is he my place? No. Nothing wrong with it. If you win visa lottery, you need money for ticket, and people are contributing, I'll contribute my portion. All right? It was just not my own place. How did I know it was in my own place? I don't even know. All I know is that I knew it was in my own place. I knew it was in my own place. Okay? So anything, before you do anything in life, please pray. Don't just run up and down. Listen, when I went home last time, there was one young woman, my sister was telling me, and my mother, two of them were telling me that, do I remember this lady? I said, I can't remember her. They described, I said, well, I think vaguely, but it's been a while. She said, the lady is back home. I said, hey, from where? She said, from United States. So what happened? One day she packed her load and said she'd go back to Nigeria. And she was just sitting there and saying, lie, that it was the worst decision she ever made in her life. And one day she got up and said, I'm sorry, I'm going back home. And she was telling them, you know, candidly, listen, that if they had told me then, I would have said they were foolish. She said, but I've been there, I'm back. It was a very foolish thing that I did. So what just spinning her night is that because she was in school, all right, when she won the lottery thing, and then she left. So she left without finishing her degree in Nigeria. Went to the U.S., couldn't afford to go to university there. And after working and working for years, finally came back home and said, look, I can't continue working like that. My life is just running around working, paying bills, working, paying bills, working, paying bills. At the end of the month, what do I have? So I just can't be running my life like that. So one day, she got up and came back home. Said, thank you very much, America, we have been there. Thank you. It didn't work for her at all. It worked for some other people. Do you understand my point? That is why just pray your own prayer. Pray your own prayer. I can assure you, most of the Nigerians you know that went, it didn't work for them. Trust me, it did not. You know, Nigerians are very easy to impress. Clothes are very cheap in America. Hey, wear a few of it. Come to Nigeria and go be shining for some. Listen. And I say, that guy is doing well. Listen, life is hard everywhere. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, life is hard everywhere. If God doesn't bless you, you are in deep trouble. You are in deep trouble. You are in deep trouble. If God doesn't bless you, if you like, run to, the only place you can run to where life goes straight, if God doesn't bless you, is heaven, if you can get there. If it's not heaven, you're in trouble. You're in trouble anywhere you go, anywhere. And if God blesses you, anywhere you are, you are blessed. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Anywhere you are what?
Blessed.
You are blessed. You are blessed. One day, a friend of mine was talking. You know, I like to know this is a real. He was talking. He said that was Mike. He said, "Banky, there's some money I'm expecting." He said, when I get it, I need to send this to my friend. I said, remember that my friend that sent me that thing that time? I said, yes. He said, I need to send him $1,000. My God, things are rough. You hear what I said? The man, they don't go here. Yeah, now they talk. He said, man, there's some jobs I did. I need to get the money. Once I get the money, I need to be able to send like $1,000. That my guy. I said, what did happen? He said, man, things are rough. You hear what I said? The man is packaging $1,000 in Nigeria to wire it by money transfer to America because things are rough. It's an attitude, though. And let me tell you, God will bless you. Anywhere you go, you'll be spending money. Amen. Anywhere you go in life, you'll be spending money.
Amen.
You go to Australia, you will spend money.
Amen.
You go to Europe, you will spend money.
Amen.
You go to North America, you will spend money.
Amen.
Anywhere you go, you will spend money.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I feel like praying that prayer for you. God will make all grace abound towards you.
Amen.
You will have all sufficiency in all things.
Amen.
And you are bound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All I'm going to emphasize is the fact that blessing is not where you are. Locate where you are supposed to be. Are you getting my point? It is crucial. Locate where you are supposed to be. People can be in America, they can't pay. You know, I have to give you the gist. Very funny gist. My friend took my wife and I out as he and his wife. So one man was just greeting him and said, "Are you a Christian?" was hailing him. So the guy said, my friend just answered, we went to eat somewhere, so we're leaving. He said, are you a Christian? One man was talking to him. I'm an American man. I see the glory of God over you. So we're leaving. So we just said, let's go. So we're inside the car where they go. So I don't know whether it was my wife or his wife. I said, hey, oh boy, that man that was healing just now, I said, the man never chopped. It was like 10 p.m. He said, waiting. He said, did I see the size of the car? The guy, look at the car he's driving. All of us said, maybe that man is hungry. Maybe that man is hungry. So we went and turned and went back to the restaurant. So we went back inside. So we went and sat with the man. So the man said, so my friend now said, all right, you were asking, you were talking to me earlier. What's the problem? So the guy was, he brought some paper and said, listen, that somebody messed up with his social security, this and this and that, and that now he has no money, he can't eat. So my friend deep hand for pocket, give the guy some money. Ah, he thanked very well. What made me laugh was that when my friend came back, the guy said, the Lord brought you back. I said, Chooks, the Lord brought you back. Forget, the Lord brought you back. He knew his son had to eat. I mean, if you see the car parked outside. The guy couldn't eat that, man. Things rough that day. And if you know those kind of areas, no paddy anywhere. All the soup kitchens don't close. And the guy begins to speak Christianese. Are you a Christian? I see the glory of God all over you. The Lord brought you back. I told you, the Lord brought you back. Only the Lord. I mean, see, you don't drive, go. You can't drive, come back. Listen, there's poverty everywhere. God will bless you in your own land.
Amen.
That is the emphasis, that God will bless you in your own land.
Amen.
That is the emphasis. I said there are two kinds of lands, all right? There's physical land. Very important. You pray before you make your geographical shifts. And number two, there is a sociology. What can I use now? There's a professional land, let me put it like that. There's a career land. There's a ministry land. Whichever one is your own, you must sow in it. Like my friend, I was telling you, but I used to call me that. I don't know the guy. Just to talk on the phone. He felt that his own land was to be a preacher. Though at that time he was working in a bank. So I was saying to him, using today's words now, why are you not sowing where your own land is? And he was having problems because he didn't have time. I said, no, my brother, you have to sow in your land. You are currently in somebody else's land. You have to sow in your own. Hey, come on. You have to. Anytime I'm making choices personally, I'm careful about that. First and foremost, paramount, in front, when it comes to my decision-making process, that I'm also in my land. If I'm awake at 1 a.m., I'm working. Come and check what I'm doing. Is this kingdom world business? There are times you have received our mails at odd hours like 2 a.m. For those of you who have it beeping on your phones. If you get at 2 a.m., that was when I released them. Every other thing has to queue up behind. And anybody that struggles with me for time just loses out. The day my CMD says, listen, you can't, every Thursday, Friday, Tuesday evening, we must see you here. I'll give him resignation letter that day. Not tomorrow. That day. He said, okay, your income will come down. Is that the first time? I've done it before. I've done such things before. It looked like you're obstructing my sowing in my own land. No, you go. Because now I've realized something, you know. He said, when money increases, the number of those that spend it increase. When it goes down, those who spend it also shrink. I've learned that. I I just call my children. If it comes to that, Paul said, I've learned to abound, I've learned how to abase. You know what it means? I know how to make adjustments. I call my children. You see, this DSTV is now going back to family bouquet. If not, we pay for family bouquet, will they buy DVDs for market? 200 naira for a Chinese DVD. All of them cartoon. He's learned how to abound, learn how to abase. So this car with a chop well. Facts. What are you doing for me, sir? We'll sow you a seed so that you won't chop our fuel again. No, sir. As for children who have, my wife is buying you bicycle. She'll buy you skipping rope. No be exercise. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. And another says that, listen, I won't let anything prevent me from sowing in my own field, in my own land. We'll continue from that point next time. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are blessed today. Listen, let's just bow our head and just give the Lord thanks.